T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
There's a rock and roll anniversary, too, I wanted to mention, just because this is so hideous. I do check this website most days, this day in rock history, Danny, and usually that site just states things as facts, you know, on this day, Jimi Hendrix was born in Seattle, blah, blah, blah. It's just a fact. But today's, whoever put together the text for this decided they would comment, because here's what it said on my site today. A little opinion offered. 1981, June 10. It's a great day for music as Steve Howe, Jeff Downes, John Wetton, and Carl Palmer form Asia.
What kind of music do they play? Rap rock?
No.
Whiz rock?
That's it.
It's a great day for music. Who said it's a great day for music? Who said that?
Who said that? Who the
Whoever said anywhere it was a good day for music because Asia are born.
In fact, just to kick him a couple extra bucks, here's 5 seconds of time for me to fly.
No, don't! All the money goes to my ex-wife.
Can you play our song?
Okay, lead singer from Asia.
Now, sure as the sun across the sky.
Asia, you framed an Asia poster?
You framed an Asia poster? How hard did the people at the frame store laugh when you brought this in?
They did not laugh at me.
No, I heard because you like Asia.
Asia.
I'm not the best speaker in the world. Maybe I could put it best in the words of the timeless song. It was the heat of the moment, telling me what your heart meant.
The heat of the moment, showing your eyes.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Makes it all the more strange that Andy had an Asia poster.
Yeah, it really does. Boy, that Chris Tannehill sure can capture the spirit of something, can't he?
Yes, he can. The man is super, super talented. And if you missed it, his SoundCloud page, which is linked on his Twitter account, the McNeil and Parkins Twitter account, shared it. His Lowrider Open yesterday was the stuff of legend.
Yeah, it really was.
All of his work is archived there on his SoundCloud
page. It should be.
Yeah. Got to save it, right? Don't you say?
Save your gold, because you may want it someday. You never know. When this radio station, sometime down the road, you may be here when it celebrates birthday number 50, and you'll want to have some of that stuff from the 20-teens.
I do a terrible job at that. I don't have basically anything, and I grew up in the digital age. I just figure that it...
Please make this personal. Let's get to the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. Listen, as long as Tanny and I are still on the good track, he'll make me look bad.
Cut a deal.
Isn't that nice?
Cut a deal with one of your sound guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I have with Ben Finfer. He's producing my funeral. I mean, he's got everything down. We need to update some things soon. It's been 10 years since we've discussed.
Sure, you've accomplished a few things in the last decade.
Yeah.
A few.
You gotta make plans for it, because you're going to want it someday.
Tanny, will you produce my funeral?
Hopefully it's tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh!
I knew that was coming.
I'm just kidding.
Right,
you set it up on a tee.
Man.
You really did.
Well, I mean, I'm much older and much more out of shape than you, so I think if you can say a few words at mine, I think it'd be more appropriate.
Well, just let me know where your what are those things called? Your flash drive. Just let me know where they are. Maybe leave them to me in your will, and so then I can get my own stuff when
Pass
you die.
Pass it along, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You appreciate that.
This hour on the
Give me show, something.
Exactly. Is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Speaking of one of my all-time malaprops, the Father's Day bit from last year or 2 years ago when I killed my father.
You killed your dad, yes.
With Michael Jordan's dad. I don't know if you've had to yet, but I was asked to re-record something for this Father's Day, a sports memory with my dad. So I've recorded.
Seeing Jordan win his first title after his dad had been killed with my dad on Father's Day.
I recorded a new one. also did it in
game Tom hanging with James Jordan.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't know why he was in North Carolina. And I recorded a new one, also did it in one take, didn't listen back, so I'm hoping for another syntax problem this year.
Yeah, I did the same. Russ said it was as clean as it could be, no script, just, it was pretty easy. So I'm glad you got it right this time,
We'll see. I don't know.
I'm not sure. You didn't go listen. Yeah, you can't make the same mistake a second time.
Well, no, I told a different story. I didn't tell the same Jordan 96.
Okay,
Sonic story that would be ridiculous. So no, I told a different big game Tom story ahead of Father's Day. But I'm looking forward to hearing it because then whatever nice thing I say about my dad this time, obviously that will be forgotten and it will just be I didn't know your dad is still alive.
Now what was that for? Do you know why we were recording those? Is that a station promo? Was that a sales tool?
It was a Meet Danny Parkins promo.
No.
Yeah, that was when you first got here, and it was like, hey, here's the new guy.
Oh, that one, but not the ones we did this week, though. Not the ones that Danny's talking about him redoing. Oh, okay. The one that I recently did. Do you know what that's for?
I assumed that it was just going to air.
Just airing, like, Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
You know, Friday be a good day to do it. It's Father's Day weekend.
That would be good.
Yeah, they've begun airing some of those. I heard Hall, he had a Father's Day memory. Okay. Connor had one as well. They ran earlier today, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hall's Father's Day memory does not involve a vape pen or a cigarette or a cigar, I promise you that.
Do we want to get into this right now? How are you feeling?
What? The vape pen came up yesterday on the air?
Well, I just want to be sure that, you know, are you in trouble already?
I'm not in trouble. What happened yesterday was I think it's called a blue cig. It's one of those little contraptions of tobacco, which is smokeless.
Yeah.
They cost, I think, $9 or $10.
Get them at a gas station, Walgreens, whatever.
That's where I get them. Jack is a manufacturer of one that advertises 400 puffs for $7.99. That sounds good, right?
What a deal.
You'd pay $7.99 for 400 puffs of your gun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not a tobacco guy.
That's good oil.
Yeah, absolutely. Bang for your buck.
So, because I had a sore throat over the weekend, and I only brought a couple of cigarettes here, I'm trying to give my throat, a little bit of a break. I brought the vape pen. You, which I could have predicted easily, didn't say anything about it. And I was, out of smokes at around 4:30. So at around 5:30, just took a puff off of it. And Mark Grody stops in mid-segment and says, "Are you hitting a vape?" What's next for the Bears, Grody?
Yes, minicamp starts tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Full practices. Are you smoking?
Like he told you 5 minutes ago, stay focused.
I'm sorry.
It's a vape.
It's okay. It's weird.
God, he's got the attention span of an ant.
He really does.
I love Grody so much.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. He's snitching. Just, run through the stop sign. Just keep it moving.
Just keep going, right?
Just keep going. It's odorless. It wasn't a problem. It didn't offend anybody.
On occasion, one of us yawns. The other doesn't acknowledge it. I think I might have early on.
Yeah, you've acknowledged it with
like,
me before.
Sorry, am I boring you?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
I did wonder about that a lot early on. So
Spieg said the same thing. I don't drink coffee, so I'm a yawner.
Right, so you don't acknowledge it. No one knows.
Yeah.
Unless they're watching the Facebook stream.
Right. And
no one knows.
Everybody should watch Brian Gerch's Facebook stream, but also no one would have known and it would not have been a problem. But
right,
then
you wouldn't have cared. It doesn't smell or anything like that. Did you even notice it was going on?
No. I mean, I saw you do it and we had discussed off the air. You're like, oh, yeah, I didn't bring enough cigarettes today. But so even when that happened with Grody, I just assumed, oh, that's Grody who can be easily distracted. And then he was just, for a little bit of awkwardness during a Bears report. And by the way, Mark Grody will probably join us later on in today's show.
Maybe.
After Bears minicamp.
What time do we do rats?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, so
we have a rats theme for him.
So did something else happen?
A family full of rats. Yeah, I got an email time-stamped at 5:39 this morning from Mitch Rosen, the program director.
5:39 this morning? It happened at 5:39 yesterday p.m.
I know. Right after he sends the morning sound. This is audio gold, kids. Enjoy this.
Yes.
His thoughts for the day. Yeah, no vaping in the kitchen. No, don't do that.
Wow.
You're not supposed to vape in there. And I emailed him back, and I said, how did you know? And he said, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I listened to the radio station.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Well, no, I would hope not.
I just, it, it, I don't know why they're not acceptable, especially in a scenario like this. There are three of us in a gigantic room. This is like a dream garage is what we're in. If my garage were this size where we're broadcasting temporarily for a month, I could park my boat, I could park my hillbilly limousine, I would have all kinds of room, tractors, all kinds of stuff.
It's a huge room.
And one of the three guys in the room right now smokes cigarettes, so he isn't going to care. Brian Gertz doesn't give a damn if I were to vape, and you don't care.
I care about almost nothing.
You couldn't care less about it.
Yeah.
But it's against the rules. Okay. Why is it against the rules?
I don't know why it's against the rules. Is it a building policy? Are we not allowed to smoke in this building?
I assume that's the case.
But it's odorless.
It is. The only thing I can deduce that makes any sense is they don't want to be going around from person to person who's using a vape pen so they can determine whether it's a tobacco product or an intoxicant.
Right. I could
what
see
else
that.
Would it be? It's not unhealthy. There's not secondhand smoke from a vape pen. It isn't smoke. It's vape.
Correct. You're not inconveniencing your fellow coworkers with odor or something toxic for them or anything like that. Yeah, I know. I see your argument. The weed pen argument's an interesting one because, when it got legalized recreationally, there was a clause in the bill that basically said employers still have the right to outlaw it because they don't want you to be stoned at work. And I was like, well, yeah.
I understand
obviously.
That. That's right. Yeah. I would never bring, if I had a device like that, I wouldn't bring it into the building.
Yeah.
Well, I might, but I wouldn't use it.
You wouldn't use it in the building. You'd use it after you leave the building, maybe before you get on the red line to go home and there's a Cubs game at 7:10 and you just want to be in the right frame of mind. Hypothetically.
If
that were to happen, maybe it would be in the building, but not being used while in the building, hypothetically. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. And I also would wonder, why didn't Mitch just reach out at 5:39 p.m. when it happened? So he slept on it. That was a long, right? He got at you 12 hours after he heard it.
Maybe somebody else got in his ear.
Ooh.
Maybe somebody who has
Mac vape.
Yeah, maybe somebody who has an issue. You know, say, hey, you never know.
I suppose that's possible.
You know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you. Don't ever forget that,
no,
dude.
I remember the rules. All right, well, at least we're close to the elevators here in the culinary
studio. It is, but it was just, it was off-putting to be told it the way I was. He's the boss. He doesn't ask much of me. It's such a little thing to ask of me, but my first blush reaction at 5:39 this morning is fire me if I do it again.
Oh, wow,
that's
really?
That's my first reaction to that email, yeah.
So this is the Dan McNeil I've heard about, so much about.
I'm sitting in a garage with Parkins for 4 hours. We can't see our producers. We're alone. He doesn't give a flying feces.
No, listen.
He does. Feces? No one ever said flying ass, did they? Flying F.
Never. Yeah. I can promise you that if someone told him it wasn't me, impossible for me to care less. It would actually be impossible.
Yeah, you're right, texters. Grody is Spider. He really is Spider from Goodfellas. Family full of rats.
Huh.
He's going to grow up to be a rat like everyone else. Oh, we got a great Goodfellas anniversary today.
It's very exciting.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Tanny is producing Tanny's the show for you.
Tanny's got me in the mood to not go home today.
That's perfect. This segment is brought to you by The Art of Pizza. The Art of Pizza is celebrating 30 years in Lakeview. The Art of Pizza, located at 3033 North Ashland. Stop in for up to 18 varieties of hot, fresh stuffed pan and thin crust slices. Delivery begins 11 a.m. every day. Call 773-327-5600 or visit artofpizzachicago.com. John Morosi in just over 20 minutes. Fan behavior and how Chicagoans cannot cast judgment coming up on The Score.
Ibaka trying to stay with Durant. Knocks it away and Durant's limping. Durant goes down holding his leg. Ibaka goes up and is fouled down the other end. And Durant grabbing that right leg. It's the right calf that put him out. His teammates going over to check on him. They don't like to hear the fans cheering.
I'm surprised by that, and the players are telling him not to be doing that.
No question. These Raptor fans have been wonderful, but to cheer for a player who gets injured.
Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy, ABC, with the audio. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. I think you called it a herd mentality.
Mob mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, that's better for us anyway. Of
mob mentality, mob.
Mob. Of what mob. Happened last night. I really think that that would have happened anywhere. I don't believe that there is a fan base that is quote-unquote above that on the whole, because I just think people can be the worst. People can be reactionary in bad situations or in moments where they think something is beneficial to them.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm sure there were people who began to applaud and then realized the stupidity of their actions and maybe needed players to calm them down. And it did go on for a little bit.
Yep.
And it took the players on the court several moments before it started to quiet a little bit. Yeah, I think if the Bulls would have been playing for an NBA title game last night against the Warriors and Kevin Durant went down with an Achilles injury and you're that close to winning an NBA title, I'm sure it would have sounded just the same.
I think so, too. And just like you can't extrapolate out about all White Sox fans because some idiots attacked a first base coach, or all Cubs fans don't know the score or are drunk because people in the bleachers are drunk and don't know the score. Like, Philly fans, they were booing Santa Claus and things like that. Like, the myth gets extrapolated out from these incidents, and then it's all of Philadelphia.
Right. Well, Philadelphia has earned its reputation to a large degree, but I never would just say, oh, I don't want anything to do with a person. They're from Philadelphia. You give everybody a chance, but it seems like a high percentage of idiots call Philadelphia home.
Okay, maybe Philly and St. Louis are the outliers here. But no, it's I just think that sometimes we have a tendency to just lean into stereotypes and generalizations, right? It's like, ooh, yeah, I thought Canadians were nice.
I thought Canadians were kind people.
I still think...
Hey, prideful people.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, comparatively to Americans, probably
that
pretty kind.
Had nothing to do with where you were born, or it just did. It was, to me, it was just the excitement of the moment. You lost your. I don't know. And when one guy next to you is cheering, it's that much easier for you to join the party. There's safety in numbers, I believe the cliche says.
Well, yeah, and we see it in far more serious instances. You know, you see it at political rallies. You'll see hateful things being said and being chanted and being encouraged. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I guess you're going to vote for me, so yeah. I'm not going to shoot it down. There was a thing in Veep, the show on HBO, where Jonah Ryan, this total dunce character, is running, and he's talking about his opponent, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and someone yells out, like, kill her! And he's like, well, no. Well, sure, I mean, vote, but yeah, whatever. And then he keeps it moving. And it's like there's that mentality of, oh, well, they're on my side, so I'll allow it. Oh, they're Raptors fans, so we'll encourage it. I thought it was pretty impressive that both players on both teams in the moment immediately shut those people
up. Well, players understand that this is a guy's livelihood. Players
Correct.
Seem to have a grip on that as much as anything. Again, stereotyping, there's a lot of things players don't completely have a grasp on. You'd think that they would. One example that comes to mind real quickly is talent on the league, not NBA, but some other sports. Last guy I think should vote on a Pro Bowl roster is a guy who plays in the NFL. The only people they know are the people they're scouting for the next week, many of them.
Sure, and they'll have bias towards their friends and things
so
like that.
So they get it that this is a horrible thing. That's why you see players on both sides. Usually when there's a terrible injury, it doesn't matter the sport. Guys get down on a knee. Sometimes they pray together. It's a horrible thing. A member of the fraternity is down for the count, and everybody knew what I knew what the injury was right away. I mean, I've done an Achilles.
Yeah,
I knew what he was grabbing, and it's not pleasant, Jeefy.
I was hoping for the calf. I was hoping, oh man, he tried to give it a go, he wasn't ready, and it's going to be the same 6-8 week injury that he just went through, and he'll be able to come back and be 100%. And the thing is, too, I mean, part of it is the stature of the player that it happens to. It's Kevin Durant. Arguably the best basketball player in the world. Everyone in
among them, certainly.
You know what I mean? But just, so both players, both teams respect the hell out of him.
they know that he's a difference maker. They know that he matters. They know that he's important for the players' union and the popularity of the game. And Kevin Durant's superstardom has made them money indirectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was just a very clear respect from all around the NBA last night when that happened. Had you ever seen a press conference like the one that Bob Myers
gave? I've been thinking about it all day. Even during tough press conferences when death was the subject, and it was before you got to Kansas City, but when Derek Thomas died during surgery about a week or 2 weeks after his horrible accident, and I think they flew him to Miami for the surgery, but Carl Peterson, GM of the Chiefs, gave a fantastic news conference. And yes, he got emotional. He didn't lose it as much as we saw the Warriors GM last night. But Peterson and then gave a very articulate, impassioned plea about using the seatbelts because Derek Thomas wasn't wearing one.
Okay, that's a really good comp, and you had to go back
a long time. I know. That's round one here at the Score, I believe. I think that's circa, 99 or so? Is it that far back?
Probably, I was going to say even a little earlier than that.
He was 97-ish?
Yeah, I think it was 97.
Okay.
I think it was 97. But anyway, that's a good example. And yeah, I mean, that Derek Thomas seatbelt campaign was a thing in Kansas City
for
a decade.
Moved me. His speech moved me from many miles away with no connection to the organization, the player, or the guy who was giving the talk.
So we'll be able to spend more time on this as we go today, but I was making a lot of Chicago and Bulls connections last night because I want the Bulls to be playing in games like that again sooner rather than later, and the Warriors are the best organization in the NBA. And when I saw Bob Myers out there basically crying, taking accountability, which he arguably did not need to do. Who knows what doctor from what team? Was it the Warriors doctor, Kevin Durant's doctor? We don't know the details.
Right.
He did not need to do that in that moment. Taking that ownership, he left the game, by the way. He stopped watching an NBA mm-hmm. Finals game and was just underneath the bowels of the stadium with Kevin Durant when he was getting the medical examination and the whole thing. And then he goes out there and he owns it. I was thinking, Gar Forman doing that? John Paxson doing that? It's a players' league. And I was talking to Cody Westerlund, who's a huge NBA guy. He covers the Bulls. And he reminded me a couple of years ago finals.
Let me stop you. Is your suspicion they wouldn't?
My suspicion is they would not. Yeah, that they would not have been that emotional, and my only point of reference that I have is Derrick Rose. And we'll get more into all of the layers and the commonalities between it later, but they were leaking stuff about Derrick Rose to the media. Oh, he's got general body soreness. He doesn't want
to salute.
He's not scheduled rest. It's general body soreness. And like you said, you had to go back to Carl Peterson and Derek Thomas for an example. So that's not unique to Garpax, that I don't feel like they would have reacted that way. I don't think a lot of people react that way. But in that league, where it's all about player empowerment, and like Kevin Durant has more power than basically anyone in the NBA. He's one of the most powerful people in the entire sport. Because if he goes somewhere, you're a championship contender immediately. And Cody Westerlund reminded me when Draymond Green got suspended in the 2016 finals, Bob Myers did not watch the game in the building. He watched the game with Draymond and said, "You messed up, but I'm here for you. You're a member of this team." And he watched that game with one of his star players. And Draymond has since talked about how much it meant to him to have that type of support. And I know people can roll their eyes and say that that's coddling of superstar athletes and their divas or whatever the case may be. But in the NBA, making star players feel like they matter and that they're not just commodities and that they're part of a family truly matters. And I think you saw from Bob Myers last night that humanity. Rachel Nichols showed Steph Curry that video of him breaking down, and Steph Curry choked up and almost started breaking down and then left his interview with Rachel Nichols to go give Bob Myers a hug. Like, that is an executive that players love and respect. And in that league, it matters more than any other pro sport league.
I'm really stuck at the first part of your thesis here, and I'm focusing on that. And I, I feel a rare need to defend the Bulls management team, because while I would not dispute what you just said last about how the players have a high regard for this guy,
yeah,
I don't know that to be true about Bulls players and Gar Forman, Bulls players, John Paxson. My suspicion is they don't enjoy the same comfortable relationship, but I gotta think if something like that happened, I would like to believe that either or both of them would be more than willing to do exactly what happened last night.
I remember a lot of bus tossing around the Derrick Rose situation.
Yeah, well, then there are more medical examples too. Luol Deng.
That's what I'm saying. So I just, like, you're right. And again, these are not apples to apples scenarios. I am not saying that they are. There are important key differences. But I don't, so I am not levying that criticism lightly or saying that they are alone. I think that Bob Myers is closer to the exception than the rule. And that was, it was on display as to why that is one hell of an organization. They are the best organization in the NBA.
Yeah, I believed it to be sincere.
I mean,
guys up there sobbing like that, it'd be a hell of an actor if he weren't honest.
Coming up next, John Morosi will weigh in on the Cubs' pursuit of Craig Kimbrell. Will the White Sox be buyers or sellers, and some crazy trends around baseball? John Morosi next on The Score.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I think that with the White Sox, to see Moncada, the consistency of his work was really important. I think they're going to hit.
Out of here! Yoan Moncada drills it!
MLB Network Insider.
I think Theo at his worst. He would have no reason to begin a season with this framework of urgency and some pretty candid commentary and rhetoric about his own team if there was not some teeth behind it.
October starts in March.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor.
Yeah. Fox Sports Baseball God. John Paul Morosi.
I'm a guy. I'm not the guy.
John Morosi.
How about this for a homecoming?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
John Morosi from MLB Network and Fox Sports joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline. Alphamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, John, how are you doing today?
Outstanding. Here in Ann Arbor, and I've got to begin with a thank you to amateur baseball in Chicago, because Michigan, now bound for the first College World Series since 1984, can claim three Chicagoland natives among the regular players. So thank you, Chicago baseball, for giving Michigan three of their best players.
Well, throw them a shout-out. Who are we talking about?
We've got Akeo Thomas from Mount Carmel in Chicago. We've got Christian Bullock from Morgan Park in Chicago. And then Joe Donovan of Clarendon Hills Westmont High School. So
okay.
Thanks to those three and their programs and their families. Well done. Go Blue.
That's excellent. We love how you ride for Michigan. So since we've talked to you, the Cubs got Craig Kimbrell. We talked to you for weeks and weeks about where he was going to go, and it ends up being here. Do you think he completes the roster?
No. I think they need one more lefty in the bullpen. It may not be a huge name. I think Montgomery struggled a bit again last night, which I think has been a recurring theme at times. Especially you look around the National League and the number of big lefties you'll have to encounter. And when you think about it, for this team to win the World Series, they probably have to beat the Dodgers in the NLCS or in the Division Series, depending on how things play out. And if that's the case, you're going to have to get out Bellinger. You're going to have to get out Muncy. And we saw, of course, over the weekend, a very big moment there for Muncy against Bumgarner. You're going to need to have your very best lefties there. And so I think that you look at the Cubs bullpen, that's my one spot of concern still. And so do I think it's going to be someone of the level of a Sean Doolittle? Perhaps not. But I do think a Will Smith might be more within the range of what the Cubs could afford. And I think those are the names they'll be talking about a lot here in the coming weeks. I think in division, I'd be a little surprised if Amir Garrett was fully available, given that he's got some years of control still for the Reds. But I would say a lefty reliever has got to be now still on the top of the Cubs' wish list.
Boy, you led me right into a topic I wanted to tackle with you, and that's when you said Mike Montgomery struggled last night. He got rocked in Coors Field, and we were debating this morning in our show email how we evaluate Yu Darvish last night, you know, John, because he gives up home runs to Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado. It's tough for me to crush him for giving up a 4-run lead. That's a bitch of a place to pitch.
No, it is, and as we've heard for so many years with Coors, it's not even just the home runs, it's the amount of ground you've got to cover as an outfielder. And so you get a lot of doubles in there just because of how big it is, the great expanse of Coors Field. So I think Darvish has been better. It's interesting. I was looking at it today. He's been better, and so you look at it and say, okay, there's some positive trend lines, and yet his ERA is basically almost exactly what it was last year when you would have said you were left wanting a little bit. So I think in general the trend line for him overall, at least over the last month, he's in a better place now than he was a month ago. And it was interesting. You know, I had a chance to sit down with Joe Maddon a couple weekends ago there in St. Louis and visit with him about how he feels about the club overall. And Joe just talked about how it's taken some time, certainly to have a full appreciation for the player, for the person, but he really feels like he's getting to the spot where he's got a very good relationship with Yu Darvish. And I think that seems to be part of the narrative as well. Obviously, his command of English has improved. And he's getting more and more comfortable. And I think we'll see that, I believe. I think he'll have a better second half than first half. And I think it's just a matter of trusting his stuff because the stuff is still there. That, to me, is the best sign of all. You still see a crisp fastball. The results aren't always there, but I think the health is sound. And it's just a matter now of trusting the great stuff that he's got, because when he's got the fastball riding and he's got his good breaking ball, he can be dominant. We've still seen him do that. And I think that overall, the last month or so of Darvish has been a lot better than what we saw in the month of April.
John Morosi from MLB Network and FoxSports.com is our guest. I know it's still early for the trade deadline, but for the White Sox, there's going to be talk about a guy like Alex Colome, who's got control for next year. Do you think the White Sox are going to be sellers or stand pat?
I think they'll sell, because at least in a little bit, not maybe in a big way, and I think that they've done a good job of certainly look at James McCann, what a great story he's been. I mean, he may well be an all-star. He's one of the top three now in the voting at the catching position in the American League. But I think that when you have a reliever and it's a shorter term reliever, a year, you know, obviously a rental or even a year plus, those types of players are in such high demand at this time of year. I've always been of the mind that unless you know you're in a strong position, flipping a reliever is never a bad choice. We even saw the Twins, I believe, was 17. They moved Brandon Kinsler and still ended up making it to the playoff game, to the wild card game there against the Yankees. So you can see sometimes small moves with the bullpen, I think, pay off for you even in the short term. We saw the Pirates, for example, they were kind of on the cusp with Mark Melancon. They traded him. They get now their closer in Felipe Vasquez. So that, to me, I would say maybe a 60-40 chance on the White Sox moving Colome. Because there's a lot of teams right now that we just talked about, the Cubs. I certainly would not see them moving him to the Cubs. But there's enough teams out there. The Rangers are one possibility. I think a club that's kind of on the bubble there and needs to get some relief pitching out for this year and for next year as well, I think that could be a really nice spot for Colome to land. I think even clubs like the Cardinals in the National League, they've got to find some ways to get a little bit better in the bullpen too. So I think the interest right now in the industry, I think the overall bullpen ERA guys across baseball is, I believe, as high as it's been in almost 20 years. So when you're seeing contenders with bullpen problems, it's not a surprise, because a lot of teams have bullpen problems. And I think that's going to be a spot where you see clubs looking to add him. Because of that, I believe the White Sox are going to find some pretty compelling offers for Alex Colome.
John, we need Lucas Giolito to start for the American League in the All-Star game, and Kyle Hendricks finally to make a National League roster, because we see him. We're spoiled. We see his crazy stuff all the time. Is it 88? Is it 79? It's the same pitch, but America doesn't seem to grab on to how good he is.
No, and he certainly belongs in the All-Star game for me. There's no question about it. And we were talking actually recently about just the rarity of pitchers who are able to go deep into games and having those high-quality starts. And Hendricks can do it. I mean, he is a really rare pitcher that can give you complete games and keep up that pace, and or at least get into the eighth inning as he can. That to me is a really interesting mix that he brings. And in this power era, I love his story. In this era where we hear nothing but home runs, nothing but how hard can you throw coming out of the draft, how many guys we hear about when he throws 97, 98. Well, Hendricks, you put him in a scouting showcase, and he may not impress people with the raw stuff, but his pitchability, his smarts, his ability to endure and manage his delivery and manage innings is extraordinary. And I think it would be a really, to me, I would love to see it. I think it'd be a great thing for the sport to be able to put him on that great showcase that we've got at the All-Star Game and talk about his story. Somebody who went back and got his degree from Dartmouth. There's a lot of really interesting aspects to his story that I think are relatable for the country and frankly need to be told to an even broader audience. I realize he's been in the World Series before, won one, but I still think that he goes underappreciated, to your point. And Giolito, you're right. He's got to be right in the conversation. He has been, in so many ways, one of the great stories of baseball in 2019. What I wonder is, of course, you have to worry about how do the starts line up as you get a little bit closer, who's going to be on regular rest. Verlander, I think, is probably still the front runner, if I had to pick right now, for the Cy Young Award with what Justin has done and the bulk of his innings. But you could argue that since Lucas really got going in late April, he's been the best pitcher in baseball. So I think it'll be a really interesting conversation between the two. And even you look at Giolito, and maybe there are some comparisons in terms of just body type and delivery. It's taken a while to get there, but now that he has, it's brilliant. And certainly he's a no-doubt all-star for me, and I agree. Dan, I think he's part of the conversation there right alongside with Verlander to start the All-Star game there next month in Cleveland.
John, the Cubs have been on Sunday Night Baseball a lot, and there was a talk about the uptick in power and all the home runs, and Matt Viskurgin said something to, like, yeah, I like home runs. I don't really care why it is. Juice ball, juice players, juice bats, juice ballparks, I don't really care. There were 13 home runs in a 9-inning baseball game last night between the Phillies and Diamondbacks. Are we at all approaching this becoming a problem in Major League Baseball's eyes?
That's a great question, Danny. I think what we'll hear, the All-Star break is usually a good time to assess where we're at as a sport. And, the commissioner, of course, usually talks a fair amount publicly around that time of year. And I think we'll probably hear from him one way or the other. I think we all see the liveliness of the balls. I think that there's a very strong likelihood that their composition has changed as time has gone on. Still legal, by the way, but has changed, has evolved. I think the evidence at the minor league level at AAA is really all the hard scientific evidence that we need. It's certainly part of the approaches that have I think affected the ball as well, the launch angle, the velocity, all those different things. But if you want to talk about drag coefficient, whatever it is, but the balls are flying and they're not coming down like they used to. And I think that's a fair question to ask. To me, guys, I like games that are played at a good clip with balls in play. Home runs are part of that. I would say if I was concerned more about one thing or the other, I'd be more concerned about strikeouts than home runs because they take longer and they result in less activity. I think when the ball is flying, fans seem to like it. It's a good general premise of the sport. I'm fine with that, but I'm less okay with huge numbers of strikeouts and when the pace of the game slows down. It's a great topic, a great question. I would finalize my thought on this issue by saying this. I don't think that anybody goes to a ballpark and says, boy, I really hope that I don't see a lot of home runs tonight. I don't think that's something that people say. I mean, they may say, I hope the game doesn't last 4 hours, and I get that. But I don't think anybody says, you know what, I really only want to see no more than 3 homers tonight. No more than 3. I just don't think that's an emotion that we hear said all that often. And so I'll stay with that and say I'm okay with the long ball being a big part of the game.
John, we got 30 seconds. Bruins at home tomorrow night in Game 7?
Oof. I think that Boston will find a way to win it at home. It just seems like it's lining up that way. St. Louis had a golden opportunity to win it, of course, at home on Sunday. But I wonder this, and it's been said, Gary Bettman being there to present the cup, if in fact the Blues win it. There's been a lot of back and forth about the officiating this round. That would be quite an ovation, to say the least, in air quotes, if Bettman is there to give the cup to the visiting club there in Boston on Wednesday night.
That is not what I'm rooting for.
Yeah, he's used to it. Yeah. It might be a little louder than normal, but he's used to it. Thanks, John.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks again for everything.
That's John Morosi, Fox Sports and MLB Network. Another incident in local baseball last night that, of course, should be a huge story, but because we're immune to it, it's not. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.